Now, you might think that performing experiments on animals is no laughing matter, but for our next guest, it very much is. She's just published a study which compares the laughter of gorillas, bonobos, orangutans, chimpanzees, and humans. And the study could shed light on how human vocal communication more generally evolved. Dr. Chiara De Gregorio is a primatologist at the University of Warwick who specializes in bioacoustics. And she's the lead author of the study that was published in the June issue of Communications Biology. Chiara, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the invitation.
It's a pleasure. Now, before we start comparing laughter, Chiara, how do we know that all the different types of great apes do actually laugh?
Well, this is something that we know for a few years now. So there have been some studies that compare the structure and function of laughter in humans and great apes and found out that it is actually the same kind of signal that we have inherited by them. So we could really say that they have laughter as humans do. It's not something that we're making up or like calling it laughter, but it's not. It is.
And in terms of the task of comparing these sounds between great apes, is there something particular about laughter that makes it, if you like, a better candidate for comparison?
Yeah, I think laughter, because it's so repetitive and rhythmic, it's quite easy to try to focus on the structure while, you know, speech, first of all, is something that we only have. Mm. And then it's very variable. You change it based on the context as a simple but, you know, strict structure. And so focusing on it is a bit easy. There is less confounding factors when you studied it.
Okay, so what did you actually do in this study? Now, I'm imagining some sort of stand-up comedy gig where you invited all the animals and tried out material, but I suspect that's not what it was.
Not really. So basically, we focused on different great apes and collected data in different zoos, both in Germany and in Malaysia, where we recorded a laughter that was vocalized during playful interaction between, you know, two animals playing together. That was one context. And the other one was animal being tickled because they love it. So there will be like some zookeeper, you know, caretaker that will tickle the animal and they will laugh and then record the data and analyze those data.
And Chiara, was that you? Did you get to go around the world tickling different types of great apes?
I am very sorry to say it was not.
Because
that was my colleague that recorded this data for a PhD thesis a few years ago. So maybe next time. So maybe if we want to do a follow-up, so I could collect the data too. She told me that was amazing and very nice kind of experience having to deal with them and seeing how much they will love being tickled and having fun and playing.
Yeah, that does sound fantastic. And you said also that you're measuring laughter or you're recording laughter both when the animals are tickled, but also during social play. How do you know if it's a laugh when it's in social play?
I know because they will make this kind of sound while playing. So as in kids, or even if we think about, you know, dogs playing together. So they have this kind of rough playing, like play fighting. And it's kind of normal that you will hear some sort of rhythmic sounds that serve the purpose of communicating that I'm still enjoying this fake fight. And when this is not happening, then it signals that, you know, this interaction was not going very good. So that laughter is important in mediating this social relationship where a young individual starts learning how to deal with conspecifics and, you know, maybe aggression and different social situations.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Chiara De Gregorio about this study which compares the laughter of gorillas, bonobos, orangutans, chimpanzees, and humans. And Chiara, you've mentioned a couple of times this term rhythmic. What similarities and differences did you find between the laughter of those different types of great apes?
So we've found that our laughter and the laughter of great apes is very regular. We call it isochronous. So isochrony is a signal that is rhythmic, like the ticking of a clock or the ticking of a metronome.
So the distance between the sounds is quite regular.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So that was, you know, the baseline. So we all share this kind of organization, which is very interesting, something that really goes back millions of years ago in our laughter. But at the same time, we found some differences, meaning that the tempo of this laughter changed with evolution. So we're again talking about a metronome, which is regular, but it could be faster or slower.
Okay, so the space between the sounds.
Exactly. It's like having orangutans, which is our like more distant cousin, going like tick, tick, tick. And then the more you go towards humans, the more it's like tick, 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 tick. So faster.
Right.
And we also found that humans are the only ones that are changing the rhythmic structure and the tempo of laughter based on different social contexts. So play laughter or tickling laughter is different, while for other great apes, they tend to have the same, you know, rhythm, not depending on the social context, which, I mean, is interesting because we change a lot the way we laugh in our life, right, in different social situations.
Yes, right. That is interesting. So in terms of the rhythm, the timing, you found that you could line up the different great apes in terms of how close they were to human, and that matched exactly the slowly increasing speed of the laughter.
Yeah. A really linear relationship showing that going towards human, we go faster. We are like more, let's say, good at laughing faster than the other.
But then the other thing that you observed, the sort of different social context, was that also sort of on a gradient, or was it something that humans do very differently?
In that case, there was something that happened also in humans, which is very interesting. Well, it's interesting, but also makes sense because laughter is a very important social signal. So we deal with it in many contexts. We have a very complex social organization. While great apes, you have orangutans, which are solitary, and then you go to gorillas, which has like family groups, and then chimpanzees and bonobo got more complex. And then probably at some point, we develop the ability to change the rhythm of our laughter to accommodate more needs. We arrived at a point where social relationships were so complex that we also need to modulate that kind of specific signal because maybe we were using it not only for play and tickling, but probably also in other kind of situations.
And it's because of that that I think your paper says that laughter in a way then becomes a valuable proxy for tracing the evolution of vocal control. What do you mean by vocal control there?
Yeah, the point is that speech is so different from what animals do. It's so complex, right? So typical of humans. It's difficult to study the evolution because other animals do not have it. And our ancestor, we don't have idea how they would communicate. And for lots of years, researchers have thought that actually like monkey could not speak because the vocal tract itself was not ready or right. But it actually showed that the vocal tract itself, it's speech ready. What is missing there is the ability to control all the vocal tracts. So lips, tongues, mouth, the opening and closing. So we could look at laughter as a proxy for language. So we know that for language to evolve, we need to get better in moving in the mouth. And what we saw is actually that even with laughter, we got better with time, right? So that is an idea that probably our ancestors were already laughing in a fast way. And this could probably help in shaping the ability to move the mouth or creating more complex sounds as speech.
In terms of the number of animals laughing that you were able to test in this study, and also maybe things like their age or their sex, how confident are you that you can generalize the results from the numbers you were able to study?
So, of course, we had a limited number of participants because you could imagine there are not as many, you know, baby gorillas that you can tickle in, you know, zoos in Europe, for example. So at the time, we always want to be cautious about that. But still, I think that the fact that we've seen such a linear relationship with millions of years and speed of laughter, I think it's quite solid. What maybe is not there, that could be a very nice way to, you know, go on with this work, is to have more individuals, more animals, so you could actually see if it's something that happened also with higher number. But having more individuals will allow us also to test if there are individual differences, right? We know that in human, laughter is not a signal that is done in the same way from everybody. It's also very specific. You could recognize a laughter of one of your best friends in a crowd, I would think, right? And it will be very interesting to see if there is something similar also in the great apes. So maybe, you know, having more animals and maybe also both sexes will be interesting to see if it's something that was already very individual or this feature occur later during evolution.
And what about things like age or sex? Do you anticipate that they would differ?
Well, with sex, I'm not sure. I don't think there is any specific prediction to think that we will find differences. But again, science is about testing stuff, even if you think it's not there, just to be sure. So of course, I would love to do it. And about age, we focus on young individuals and human children because in generally mammals, play is something that tends to happen when animals are young. And so to really be able to fully compare both context and the age of the individuals, we focus only on this kind of very young children and of course, young apes.
And just finally, Chiara, and not just because in this particular instance you missed out on being the tickler in chief of the great yeah. apes, where do you want to take this study now? Do you have a clear sense from these results of what would be the next step in your analysis of great ape laughter?
I would say that would be interesting, you know, in this kind of work, we only focus on the rhythm because, you know, the rhythm of laughter goes with the rhythm of mouth movements, as we were saying, which is important to understand vocal control. But, you know, it will be also interesting to focus on maybe more pitch and more characteristics of the sound itself. And maybe there, maybe we could find some individual differences. Maybe rhythm is very important and strict in terms of organization. Maybe if you actually analyze the sound, it would be interesting to see, you know, if the pitch got higher with evolution or not. And yeah, I would love to do that.
Well, it certainly tickled our fancy. So thank you very much for speaking with us about your latest study on Sunday Extra today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
And we were speaking there with Dr. Chiara Di Gregorio, primatologist from the University of Warwick. And the study is called Rhythm and Timing in Laughter Reveal that Human Vocal Plasticity Falls on a Hominid Continuum, published in the June issue of Communications Biology.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.